everyone listening and watching our conversation, I want to invite everyone just taking a moment to really connect with the field of conscious evolution, to connect with each dot, what we are spread in a big web around the globe, and just become aware that so many of us care about consciousness, about evolving consciously, about really being caretakers of the planet, really serving life in oneness, in unity. And I just want to bring this attention and our awareness to this fact that we are a global family, a global community. And yeah, and just sense it and feel it and feel that you are not alone in that, that we are so many taking care in a different way and becoming more and more conscious. And today I want to warmly welcome Steve Farrell from Humanity's team to our Conscious Evolution Summit.
Well, thank you, Curia. It's wonderful to be with you. And yes, such a sacred mission and wonderful that we can start actually with this whole experiential time where we were just feeling into that oneness and that unity and that wholeness, which is what our lives and our work is all about. So beautiful that we start this way.
Yeah, it just came and I follow my intuition. And I want to just share a few introduction words about you. So you were basically leading and co-founding already in the 1990s two high growth technology companies in Silicon Valley. And then you co-founded together with best-selling author Neil Donald Walsh, which I guess many of our audience know with this famous and incredible books, Conversation with God. And before we go into other subjects, Steve, I would really like to know what called you to co-found this network, this educational platform, this Humanity's Team network with Neil Donald Walsh together?
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's a good place to start. So that's really my personal journey here. And as you mentioned, in the 1990s, I was blessed to be in the right place at the right time to start these high growth companies in the area of digital communications, really living the American dream there with all of what that is. But I read then in 1995, Neil Donald Walsh's first book, Conversations with God, Book One. Rapidly read books two and three and the other books that came out too. But Book One was really the door opening device or the epiphany device for me. It just rang so true of this God, this divine, this divinity, this oneness, this love, this cosmos that loved us so deeply and that created this amazing invitation and opportunity called life, where we get to come down and embody and express who we know that we are as a part of the one, the eternal, with this potential that truly is unlimited, that we're an emanation of the one. So when I read this material, it caused me to, over a period of weeks and months, to take a step back and really decide, who am I really? Because we can't really serve different masters in life. We really need to be very clear, who am I? And to that point in my life, I was living more the American dream of right place, right time, massive growth, all of these beautiful employees, revenue, quarter over quarter growth, profit, et cetera. And those were progressive companies. We practiced open book management. We adopted a local high school and really neat stuff like that. But But I was, at the end of the day, I was the chairman and the CEO of these companies. I was responsible for their welfare of growing the companies quarter over quarter. But what the conversations with God material introduced me to was this notion that I'm actually on this eternal journey, this, you know, this with all of this unlimited potential, and on a troubled planet, candidly. Certainly we talk about this sixth existential crisis today. Even then in the 1990s, I could feel into that of, wow, you know, we're really in some trouble here. And so who am I? Am I the guy on an eternal journey here for a brief visit on the earth? Or am I this embodiment called Steve Farrell that wants to live the American dream? Who am I? And I was very clear that at the end of my life, if I was in service to the Steve Farrell, the smaller self, the American dream, that I was going to be very unhappy. That I, along with many others who are called, have a more important role to play, which is the conscious evolution role of really living it fully, authentically, to the very best of my ability, with others, and then inviting this planetary awakening, this living into the unity of all of life. And so it's more than just an awakening that is some mental process, but it's living into the unity of all of life. So it's then in my own life and in humanity's team and in these invitations that we extend to others, it's really very tangibly, very practically in education, in our relationships, I could go on in all the spheres of life, living into the unity of all of life and then creating this, what people call heaven on earth.
And which kind of programs do you offer there, Steve? Which kind of education you came across where you say this is really beneficial for the paradigm shift we are right in?
Yes, well, and that's evolved too. When Neil and I started Humanities Team back in June 2003, things were quite different. We're 16 years out now. And in that time frame, very honestly, where we talked about our mission, that we were that it was about awakening our oneness with the divine, each other, and all of life, candidly, many would look at us cross-eyed. Some felt that it was true, but wondered why we would be focusing on something like this, and did we have any chance of ever creating that shared wisdom? Mm. So there was a lot of free interviews and things. Now, 16 years later, what people are interested in, what they resonate with, one is Global Oneness Day, which is now 10 years old, where all of these incredible people from all over the world freely give of their time to come on to Global Oneness Day and to talk about oneness and how it works in their own life and what their understanding of it is and what their vision of it is as we live into it. And we've gone from just 1,000 people to now over 100,000 that participate in Global Oneness Day. As well, we've gone in the direction of transformational education. There are several large for-profit companies in this transformational education space. They're for-profits. Humanities Team is a nonprofit. We don't have investors. We don't have any need to just create classes that are going to be financially lucrative. That's not why we're here. Our whole mission and purpose is awakening in this generation what is already so, our oneness with the divine, each other, and all of life, and living into that. And as I mentioned, so that's not, we're not trying to create something new, oneness. It's actually this timeless truth, this ancient truth, right? Goes all the way back to before Christ's times in sacred text, that shares that we actually always have been all one. We're all emanations of one thing. In our transformational education, we're trying to point it at areas where there aren't already programs that we think are really important, like science of self-empowerment, as a for example, or something with Neil we created Final Frontier. And with Barbara Marx Hubbard, we created several programs called Awakening New Species was one of them. Mm-hmm. I've created something inside Humanities Team called Conscious Leadership. So, and these are pointed at areas where we can really create stretch and strength and growth so that we can together more fully embody this oneness or unity or this wholeness that we all talk about.
Mm-hmm. And you also, you are for me also an example because you knew the corporate world in the old paradigm and you are now in a company in the new paradigm. So you really know both being a leader and having a business in these different realms. And I would be really interested to hear from you how you could or how you would manage to transition personally into this other possibility to run a business really very different.
Yes, well, it is an interesting thing. In the 1990s, again, I believe, as I mentioned, in my belief, before we ever embody, we're given the opportunity to co-create the circumstances, the opportunities, the relationships, the obstacles, all of that. Then we embody, and then we our opportunity is to live it out, to live out the plan that we co-created with the divine before we ever embody. Mm-hmm. And this beautiful plan was created before I embodied, where I'm born into this family with, there's seven siblings, with a single mom who's a legal secretary. So we, there's no wealth in this family, where I paid for my braces in the sixth grade. But then I, through a series of things, I graduated from college. I moved out to California. I worked for IBM, which in the 1980s was kind of the place to be. Then I came on to a couple of ideas for businesses that would be where we could build a great business, truly a great business. It was not about wealth, financial wealth creation at all. And you always fail when it's about financial wealth creation. And so, boom, we went out. We started two businesses, grew them, one to 75 million, another to 75 million. And then I was in these business associations where they had the guys had their private jets. One of them belonged to this private ski area. So I'm doing all of that kind of stuff. Now, what's interesting is when I was on the private jet or at the private ski area, my stomach felt awful. I felt, even this was in the 1990s, so even 20 years ago, it wasn't that different from today. These challenges where we've got, carbon emissions and we've got these wage disparities and where we have job retraining that's not there. I was just down in South Africa in Cape Town. I was in a township, 100,000 people living in a place that animals shouldn't live, right? And here I am in a private ski area, for gosh sakes. And my stomach just was turned. And my wife has the same values and her stomach was turned. And we just said, what are we doing? at this time when this is going on the earth, and consciousness, which is what this beautiful summit is about, conscious evolution, and conscious evolution is very personal, right? It's, we're feeling into our own conscience and our consciousness and we're in this immersive state with the divine and blessing and grace and peace and beauty and just this, this divine has created this life process. It's so beautiful and where we're blessed every day. But where it's about, life, right? It's in consciousness is about life. It's about nurturing life, supporting life, affirming life. That's what this conscious evolution path is about. And where I'm doing these kinds of things, it's like a kid's game. What am I doing? So I quit these associations. I sold all of my stock in these organizations. And my wife said, and I said, I don't know if I'll ever have a salary again, but I was in the right place at the right time. I think we have enough to last a lifetime. So let's do this. And so we left. And then I helped Neil start Humanities Team. And for the last 16 years, I work with these beautiful activists, leaders, volunteers. We're mostly still, I'm a volunteer still. It's either volunteers or a lightly paid staff. Mm-hmm. Where we're just really totally committed to, in this generation, really manifesting this whole conscious evolution. You could call it the new spirituality or homo universalis or univigual. There are many terms, doesn't matter the term, but really manifesting conscious lifestyles and conscious workplaces and just conscious spheres of life so that we live in the beautiful way that we were invited to live, I believe, when the earth was first created eons ago.
Mm-hmm. So how does your stomach feel now, Steve?
My stomach feels great. My stomach feels wonderful. I'll probably live forever. I'm firmly in living in as my, as a part of this one thing, where I tell my wife, don't worry about me. If I, you know, there's no way a plane could crash. I could ever, at some point my mission will be complete and I'm sure I could crash and, you know, it could be the end of my life. Right now I feel so guided, protected, supported. Mm-hmm. Nothing could happen to me. Cause I'm just out in pure service. It's what you're in. You are doing too. Period. It's what conscious evolution is. It's we're in pure service where the divine says to us, I'm in service to you. That's how life works. Right. And then conscious evolution says, we say it back and I'm in service to you. That's when the miracles start. The tornado starts to turn. Yeah. Right. That's when we say yes. Boom. Mm-hmm. Then we're right inside of guidance, of support, of miracles, of blessings, right? People even use the term superhuman capacities. So we're just right inside of that. And everything is, and it's not that the challenges go away. We have numerous challenges, I'm sure. Many, you know, but instead of what happens is we get turned over on our side still. So we feel those incredible challenges. But now, rather than ever falling over on our back where it just dies altogether, which is what happens in Silicon Valley, where I came from quite frequently, we always, boom, now the blessings and miracles kick in. We get righted. Obstacle gets removed from our path. Resource comes in. A piece of the vision gets fulfilled. Right? So that's the difference. So it still has many challenging moments. But it, in conscious evolution, sometimes we call it the God job in Humanities Team. You always get to your destination. Mm-hmm. You always get to your destination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would also say how I experience it is also, it's a constant support in growth of individuals, which kind of contribute to what you do. And also, yeah, growth also in the understanding of our common space between us, the we space, also growth in the material we offer for others. So it's an ongoing journey toward growth and also always facing a lot the unknown, what we don't know. So this notion of becoming new, always kind of is there. So I would like to hear from you if you have a similar experience in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Growth. Yes. Cause there's no end point that I believe we ever come to where it's a journey, and it's full of growth, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Just growth in all ways, growth in our faith, growth in our awareness, growth in how, in our relationships, how with my wife and my kids, how I live this, mm-hmm. Growth in how I live it in Humanities Team, mm-hmm. you know, and it's still, of course, every day, there's new growth. Yeah. So there's no there.
No, and there's basically also no separation between your private life, your work life, your everything comes from the same value and from the same source into the same direction in a way.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. There's no separation between anything. And I've been emphasizing no separation between us and the one thing or the divine or one mind. But also, as you mentioned, there's no separation between you and me or any of us or a plant or an animal or anything. Mm-hmm. There's no separation. And that's a part of the growth, as you mentioned too, where we can feel into that more. And many people, including as part of Global Oneness Day, we're bringing in that animal and plant life and the earth are an intricate, is very, very valuable part of this one. And we need to respect, there needs to be respect and dignity for all of this life. So yes, beautiful growth and unfolding. And as a part of that too, then is the community aspect of as there's growth and as we feel closer and as we go deeper, can create really beautiful community, which is what a lot of people are missing in today's world, because we still are the less than 10% that are really living consciously. Of course, together we're coming up on that tipping point and it'll change, but today it's like that. And so for most of us, our neighbor, even in our own household, and certainly in our extended families, there tend to be many, many unconscious people. And so it's really beautiful when we're in community with each other and we can talk and feel into this consciousness, mm-hmm. this oneness.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, let's go back a bit to conscious business. So you also in your humanities team offer a program to support people really in developing the skills, the inner attitude, how to build up or how to lead or how to manage a conscious business. And I'm really curious to hear from you some of the content you share in these courses.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, business is so important. And we're talking here about living into the unity of all of life in all spheres of life. And business is the most powerful institution on the earth today, right? Centuries ago, it was the church. Today, most would say it's actually business when we talk about the most powerful institution on the earth. It's business. So if business is the most powerful institution on the earth, we better make sure the conscious business emerges, right? We're all in trouble. We get walked right over a cliff. So back in 2014, we looked at this and we looked at the models out there, B Corp and B Lab and conscious capitalism and things. And what we realized is that the fullness of consciousness, we didn't see in these models that were creating, I'll call it a systemic process. So a business anywhere on the earth could, through a systemic means, there's a charted path, right? There's a course that we run. So that a process so that any business anywhere on the earth could follow a path, a journey, a systemic process into becoming conscious. So we didn't see that. And we reached out then to Urban Laszlo, who leads the Club of Budapest in Europe. We reached out to, and he works closely with the Sianji family in Japan, who lead the Goi Peace Foundation. And we also reached out to Chris Laszlo with the Fowler Center for Business as an agent of public benefit out of Case Western Reserve University. He's actually Urban's son, to talk about this and to say, do you see the fullness of consciousness in business anywhere in the global footprint? And also, do you see a systemic process so that a business anywhere on the earth can become conscious, all following a similar process? And they said, no, we do not see these things. We're all nonprofits, and nonprofits are resource building. And so you're very carefully picking your next priority, because you can't be all things to all people. But we said, this is really important. Mm. Business is the most powerful institution on the planet. We don't see the fullness of consciousness. We don't see a systemic process. Let's create this together. So we spent over a year creating a conscious business declaration. If you go to consciousbusinessdeclaration.org, you can read, it's very brief, the declaration. And actually Ken Wilber even came in to assist in this process, because in the introduction, there's a couple sentences at the top, which are the preface to the declaration. And it originally said something about building the awareness of, you know, blah, blah, blah. And of course, Ken Wilber, with all quadrants, all levels, integral framework, said, okay, the preface needs to say that we're building the awareness and the skills, right? The skills within the organization to live in connection in oneness, for the benefit of communities and the planet. So we changed the preface with Ken's assistance. Then with these other, our four NGOs working together, we created the declaration. If you go to consciousbusinessdeclaration.org, you can read it. If you resonate, by the way, with that declaration, I invite you to sign it. Please do sign it. Invite others to sign it, because this shift and where we go from unconscious business to conscious business is crucial. It's absolutely crucial to this conscious evolution journey that we're talking about. Business needs to come in. So we created the declaration. Then, as you mentioned, Peoria, we created a whole conscious business change agent framework and a conscious leadership framework, where we're doing training now that uses as its basis the declaration, which starts off by saying, all of life is one. There's nothing that lives in a silo. Everything is actually interconnected, interrelated, and interdependent. It's all a part of one thing. So it starts with conscious principles, and it builds on those conscious principles as you read down it. So it's an important part of the work that we do in humanities team. We're in, of course, the area of personal development, where we're working with individuals and their families to really live consciously and fully into the unity of all of life, but also importantly in this area of business and commerce and economy, where, as we know, business used to be a noble institution. 150 years ago, business was a noble institution. They really, entrepreneurs and business leaders got that the whole purpose of business was to create flourishing communities in a flourishing world. In its earlier state, business was there. We didn't leave our values at the door. But as businesses evolved, and as there's a focus on financial wealth, really to the exclusion of everything, what's happened is the values started getting pushed out, and now for many businesses, it's just on the other side of the door completely. Because in conscious business, the first question that we must ask is just a very simple question of, for this organization, this business, what are we going to produce in products or services that are going to create a more flourishing community or a more flourishing earth? If we can't create a product or a service that's helping to manifest flourishing communities and a flourishing earth, why would we make such a product or service anyway? You know, why would we create a GMO? Why would we create a fossil fuel based thing? Why would we do a lot of the animal farming? Why would we do a lot of the kinds of fishing? Why would we do these things? Right. So that's what conscious business is doing. It's backing us all the way up to a process of conscience, of values, of consciousness, where we ask the most important question right at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess for many people who already really embody these values, they obviously feel called to apply it also in their business. But in your perspective, what is needed in order to reach also people which don't follow these principles yet, in a way, to let this community of conscious business leaders grow?
Yes, and we ask each other that question frequently, don't we, period. So I believe it is we live it fully. So like right where we started, period, with that experiential that exercise, right, where we were, okay, whew, let's really feel into this oneness and this unity. Let's feel into this wholeness. And where we can not, where we can carry that with us, where people can feel that. So in a sense, we're living into the future as we, and we're living into consciousness fully now, but we're people that aren't conscious at all. There's so much of the, there's quite a lot of unconscious activity. People will feel this. They'll feel our authenticity. They'll feel our truth. They'll feel something healthy. And going back to that Silicon Valley story too, that you asked me to share, what's interesting is while there's a great deal of financial wealth, there's a lot of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and that's surprising. There's a lot of suffering, a lot of suffering, because we're living these lifestyles of just American dream and just putting in incredible hours to grow the business and so on. Our spouses, we're not present to our spouse. We're not present to our children. All kinds of dysfunctional things start happening in our marriage. Our conscience is aware that we're actually not prospering our communities and the earth. So there's a lot of suffering going on. And where we embody health and well-being, and where we are embodying consciousness, that's very inviting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very inviting.
So just being really just examples where we really live what we value and where we are aligned with it and where we follow our inner truth and our calling. And so this kind of makes maybe other people who are also interested in that and also bringing it into their business kind of attracted to it and maybe asking questions. Yeah.
Absolutely. And also, and knowing exactly that period and not ever appearing to be something that we're not. So we are not examples of perfection. We are not examples of ongoing excellence. We're not, you know, we're doing our best. And there are certainly many moments where we're just, where it's all beautiful and right there. So as some examples, you know, from my Silicon Valley past, I'm just very driven. I'm naturally very driven, have been since I was a kid. And that can be a pretty heavy load, you know, for people that I'm working with, my colleagues and partners. So, you know, I'm not some example of perfection and excellence there. Also, I was a middle child. I mentioned 7 siblings. I was the third oldest. The third oldest is more of a listener than a talker. So I've had to really do a lot of work to where I come out on summits like this and other summits, all the things that I'm doing where I'm just talker, expressing. It's not my natural state. Mm-hmm. You know, and I get to work with a lot of the beautiful conscious people in the world. Mm-hmm. And we're just not, you know, so if we can just be honest about, well, I do these things well, I contribute here beautifully, I give these gifts, but I'm not some model of perfection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we're just truthful, authentic about our contribution. That's actually very powerful. And now we can reach people and touch people because mm-hmm. people can relate to us then.
I'm so happy that you mentioned that, Steve, and it also kind of reminds me on the integral work, which you already also mentioned with Ken Wilber, where this constantly growing up and cleaning up and is part of our growth, waking up, growing up, cleaning up, showing up. So, and all these different 4 pillars kind of, they need our attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The integral framework is wonderful because it has those four elements that, and we can keep an eye on those and make sure that we're really, you know, there's, for me, another thing here in this work is we are an emanation of the one thing. And so these gifts that we have, you know, come actually from that one thing. So there's always, for me, there's a great humility in this, actually. If I were ever to go off in a narcissistic direction, to me, I'm back playing a kid's game like I was in Silicon Valley with the American dream. What am I doing? You know, crowing about stuff when I'm an emanation of that, that one thing is actually expressing through me and bringing all of these gifts through. And also everybody else is an emanation of the one thing too. It's not just me. So there's great humility actually in conscious evolution.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And thank you that you really bring that to our awareness. And Steve, another question. I mean, you had this example where you stopped with, I just call it old paradigm business and started new paradigm business. But I guess there might be maybe also people in our audience which maybe have a business running and maybe want to transition that one. Kind of, do you have experience and can you share from your experience what is needed or what supports that to be able to transition a business?
Yes, Puria, and I have a lot of passion for this topic. This success that we created in Silicon Valley, where, as I mentioned, we were able to grow two companies quite rapidly from zero revenue to $75 million in revenue. The key for the first one, because the second one just launched off of the first one, so it had a big, huge slingshot effect. The first one was the challenging one, where nobody knew us. We were in used furniture, executive suite, no money. But it was conscious practices that we were deploying even back then in the 90s. And in conscious practices, this thing where we talk about connection with each other and connection with the one thing, the one mind, the divine, it's starting there. So it's our spiritual practice, right? And we're living into our spiritual practice. So people that are buying products from us and the vendors that we're working with and everybody, all of that ecosystem around us is actually feeling into the culture, the expression of this business. And it was a very pure expression that we created. As I mentioned, we weren't trying to make a lot of money or anything. We're trying to just build a great company. I wasn't using the term then of a conscious company, but it was a conscious company. And boy, employees love to work for conscious companies. Customers, clients, they love a conscious company. And even vendors, you know, those that we buy things from usually are the last consideration of, well, I'm buying their product. I can just chisel them down to the lowest price, whatever. Well, you know, when we're conscious, we're actually building long-term relationships. We're also, even with our vendor partners, we're working closely, honestly, and lovingly, I would say. Which is what consciousness is. It's lovingly and it's truthfully. So I built a couple of organizations using conscious processes where we went from just two guys, because I was a co-founder, I had a partner, to the first company, 175, 180, the second company, 875. And the whole, the value proposition actually was consciousness. So, and then with this, where we created the Oneness Declaration, where we've created all these principles and we started integrating those into these educational programs that we offer. Conscious Business Change Agent is one. It's currently a 6-month process. We might get it down to something, shorter. We're working on an evergreen version of that now. And then Conscious Leadership, which is an 8-week program. So, and these two programs are distilling down all of the wisdom and the things I learned, the journey that I followed to start these things consciously, to create cultures that are conscious. And when I talk about a culture that's conscious, so that means then within the organization or the business, that we're using our, we're coming into these inner processes, right? What I would call a spiritual practice for us individually, inner processes that are deeply affecting our being state, right? That's what our, in our spiritual practice or our inner practice, is deeply affecting our being state. We're in that place of connection. I'll even call it communion. We're in that place of communion. And we elevate then that whole safe place, a community of communion then within the organization. And then we collaborate in that space and we make decisions in that space. So it's a very different style of leadership. It's not at all where the CEO pounds the table. I've thought about it and we are going to do this and let's get going now. It's like the opposite. It is not that. It is instead you're feeling into and you're coming into meetings and there's this, it's a sacred space. And I like to go last, actually, is the way I like to do it. People are surfacing their perspectives and visions and things, and I will too. And then we'll feel into, okay, our greatest possibility here perhaps is something that's emerged, right, from that. And then, so decisions are made that way. It's a culture that's created that way. And once again, conscious organizations, and there are great opportunities now for coaching, consulting, training, creating companies focusing on electric, on solar, conscious vacations. I could go on. There are many opportunities right now in this area of conscious business, conscious commerce, and they're a lot of fun. If I wasn't doing what I'm doing today in Humanities Team, which is a movement, it's a nonprofit that's focused on, you know, awakening oneness with the divine each other and all of life. If I wasn't doing that, I would be out as a conscious entrepreneur again, starting some businesses with colleagues and partners, because it's a lot of fun to create those visions together of, oh, there's this, you know, there's not an organization performing this service or providing this product in the marketplace that's going to create flourishing communities and a flourishing earth. Let's go do it. Let's, you know, and where we're inspiring each other and bringing that energy in every day and then growing the business, focusing on that. That'd be a really cool thing to do. Right now, that's not my calling. My dharma is to be doing what I'm doing here today. Mm-hmm.
And when I listen to you, what I hear really very clearly is that, in a way, your whole day included in your working life is a spiritual practice. So decision making, being together with colleagues, with employees, making decisions. So everything is really in this inner attitude of connectedness, of really being true to my values, and everything moves from there and goes out from there.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, you put nice words there, period, of what consciousness is that of just, even right in this very moment, mm-hmm. where we can all of Larry Dossey, by the way, Dr. Larry Dossey created the term One Mind. It's a beautiful book if you haven't read it. And what he says in his book One Mind is that all wisdom everywhere is just right there available in this very moment. There's no separation. Mm-hmm. And all of these advanced capacities, which he reviews in some detail, they're all right there. Mm-hmm. In oneness, in the one mind or in the divine, it's actually all right there, mm-hmm. Including the beautiful grace and peace and love, which is its essence. So, yeah, I certainly endeavor to live there in every part of my life. And that's that when we talk about this journey into conscious evolution, where there's always growth, because, again, there's nobody that in my, even the Dalai Lama, there's in my understanding, none of us are actually at some pinnacle. The growth process is never ending. So we can, there's always a deeper, a fuller capacity. Mm-hmm. And so it's just deepening our capacities here, mm-hmm. our potential. And the deeper we live into it, the more incredibly fulfilling it is and the more powerful we are too, because we're in service mm-hmm. to one. So we're a healthy cell in this body called Earth, or called humanity here on Earth. We're not a cancer cell. We're a red blood cell delivering oxygen, or we're a part of the immune system that's protecting the body. We're a healthy cell. So we're working together in community to nurture these, our community and the Earth. And we're at our center is this consciousness, this oneness, this wholeness that's where so much of the prosperity is. Yes, there's financial prosperity too. That's really important. But a lot of there are other forms of prosperity that are numerous that are right there in the essence of what oneness is.
Mm-hmm. And just in my experience, the more you are really connected to this invisible inner richness, the less you seek it outside in some material stuff. So you are just on your own, just by living, by breathing, by being aware that you have this chance to experience life. It's already so rich and so nourishing and so full, so that everything else is just kind of, yeah, something more, but not really needed so much.
Very true. So true. And so by ourselves alone, we never feel alone.
Yeah.
It's always very rich and very full. Yeah. And the beautiful, the real opportunities are where, just like us right here, period, sitting with you, when you're with a kindred spirit that's also living it, that's a real beautiful thing, because there's not, we still are, we're resource building here in the area of consciousness. So we don't, most of us don't have neighbors that are really deeply into it, unless we live at Echelon or Fendhorn or somewhere. So it's a beautiful thing when we are in the company of another person who's on this journey too, and they're
absolutely
sharing their own beautiful experiences, and you're sharing yours. You're right there in heaven together.
Absolutely. And I just have another question, Steve. So because I wonder, I experience sometimes a bit of a misconception about the issue of leadership, because if you would use the integral framework, often in the green zone, people really withdraw from stepping into leadership roles. They think, oh, we all are one and we are all the same and no one has authority. But I mean, I experienced that doesn't work so well. So I'm curious about your experience and your perspective on what is authentic leadership role. What does it mean, and how do you really practice that in a company? And
Boy, that is such a great question, Piria. It's actually a word that is, I've got a lot of emotional baggage with it. So we have to be really careful with the word leadership. As you mentioned, in green, everybody wants to just be an individual expression. And that's their, that's really what is our truth. And of course, in life, that's the whole invitation, really live our truth. So in green, leaders, there's no real room for leaders. We don't want leaders. We want everybody just expressing their individual truth. So now leadership in the context that we use it is, that we're all leaders. So we're not using this in the context of follow me. If we were going to use it in any context, it would be, I'll go first. I've found this truth. I'm a pioneer in consciousness. I'm going to go live it fully. I realize, I don't have a model for this. There wasn't a mentor, unfortunately, that could, tell me about this, but I feel it and it's true for me. So I'm going to go live it. So it's that, and that we're all a leader. So we're using leadership in that context. And then as far as the, an organizational context where we talk about green and things. So this is an interesting discussion too. Now for me, people that really, truly, deeply value, green, where it's just all of expressing my truth, and that's what I want to do. I tell people in green, you should honor that truth, and you should go out on your own, you know, with what that truth is and bring it into its fullness. You know, that's the key in conscious living is always going within to our own inner guidance and following that inner guidance. That's the church or the sanctuary is no longer an outer building, though it can be, but it's an inner, it's that soul space. It's that heart space. It's going within and being guided and following that guidance. And so for Green, I share with them, you honor that, my suggestion, honor it, follow it, really bring it into its fullness. So in humanities team, there's a lot of things that we're deeply wanting to do together. It's a team. And so we're really ambassadors for each other, for our shared vision, for our process, for the culture we've created, for the programs we've created. So the people that have gathered in humanities team value, that's their calling as they go with it. Of these programs, these values, this culture, this, you know, awakening oneness, the vision, blah, blah, blah. I'm for that, you know, and I'm being drawn. I trust this team and I want to work with this team. So yeah, leadership, I think we've got to decide what does that word mean for us? The old style leader thing, I think is not working any longer. The leader in the Western world that pounds the table where it's my vision, my way, you know, or the highway, leadership is not working any longer. I think it's being hospiced even as we speak, but I think there's still room for leader where we, in my conscious leadership program, one of the things I talk about is, in consciousness, you know, there's so many things that we're building awareness of, but stretch and strength are two really important things. If we're going to really powerfully manifest these things that we're guided to through our own spiritual practice, we need to build strength and we need to really stretch, often in uncomfortable ways, really stretching. So in this conscious leadership program, it's getting to how we stretch even uncomfortably, how we build strength, how we're, one of the modules is called intention, heart coherence, and inspiration. These are three powerful best practices that we don't see in most Western companies. It's not led with intention where we're really fully manifesting from intention. Heart coherence isn't a practice where we really bring we self-regulate, we bring ourselves back into this place of communion. And inspiration often isn't practiced. Instead, it's motivation of, hey, you've got this sales goal and I'm going to pay you this much money to achieve the goal. Go achieve the goal. You know, inspiration isn't that. Inspiration is where we're talking about the kinds of things we're talking about here, of this, of what spirit feels like, of what I'm living into, of what, when we talk about living into the unity of all of life, what that feels like, what that vision is, how we might build into that. So, so one of the modules in conscious leadership and brings in those three things.
Thank you so much for bringing all this variety and wisdom of the expression of oneness and unity in individuals, in leadership, in business. And so it feels so rich, and I just believe that what you offer with Humanities Team is really rich, and everyone can find something to be inspired to learn more about. And I will link your website, of course, and also in a continuous co-creation, I will also, if you like, so if you have programs, I will let our audience know about that, because I really value what you share with Humanities Team. And to kind of, at the end of our conversation, I would like to hear from you, Steve, where do you sense with Humanities Team or also in your personal life, where do you sense right now you touch something new, where you say, there I feel something new is coming into my awareness or into Humanities Team or into consciousness, just to kind of, inspire people. What is really leaning into the unknown and into the new? Maybe you can share an example right out of your experience.
Absolutely. The big inspiration, Peria, coming to me now is that we need to reclaim our dream. That's the big one. We need to reclaim our dream. That in today's world, with the administration we have in the United States and in Hungary and the Philippines and in many countries all over the world, Brazil recently with their recent election, and then with the stepping back from the Paris Climate Change Accord, with the income wealth inequality that's growing, with the job training that's missing, with I could go on. I've encountered in the last 6 months more and more people, including powerful activists, leaders, who are saying, "Oh boy, I didn't see this coming. In my worst nightmare, I never imagined we'd be here." So I'm sitting in a room now with more and more people like this, and I want to just respond to that by saying what I'm feeling into, what the divine is telling me, is our dream is alive and well. Our conscious evolution dream, it is alive and well. Over the history of time, we take two steps backward before we can go six steps forward. It's always been that way. We don't like the steps backward. It hurts. We lose hope. That's where we are now. But our dream is alive and well. We're manifesting it. We're manifesting it now in this generation. Yeah, I believe in the next decade, there'll be even more palpable, practical, on the ground demonstrations of unity, of oneness, of wholeness. And so that's my invitation to just, in your spiritual practice, feel into that. See if that feels true for you. Does that resonate for you, that our dream is alive and well? Because if it does, then amp it up, stretch, build strength, live it fully, live it authentically. We're not perfect. We don't need to act like we're perfect. There's humility. We don't need to be acting like, we're some huge something special. There's humility. We come from the one mind, the divine. So, yeah, that's my invitation.
Thank you so much, Steve. Which wonderful words to end our conversation. And I want to thank our audience taking the time, being with us, being open to listen to the words, being open to feel how these words and this exchange touch you, inspires you, maybe brings a bit of fear into your life, because you might sense maybe some things want to change. So all of that is good. And I also want to encourage you to, as Steve said, really hold this dream alive, nourish it, sense it, hold it dear to your heart, because I deeply believe when we all hold it and we feel connected in that, it can't other than manifest one day, so where we can really have it in the visible realm as well.
Amen. Doing that with you, Peria.
Thank you so much, Steve. It was so wonderful. And I appreciate that you took your time. I know you have so many different people to meet with, and the work you're doing. So I really don't take it for granted that you said yes to participate in the summit.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And boy, all of us, we're on this conscious evolution journey, and which is what this summit is about. And Godspeed to us, huh?
Thank you. Bye, Steve.
Bye. Thank you.